Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1, 2, and 3. Let's read those three verses together. Paul,
an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ.
Right, Paul is called an apostle of Jesus Christ. What is an apostle? What was their action? What does it mean by apostle? Any hands on that? What is apostle? Again, Anna, Tammy?
Well, I think it means sent one.
Okay. Yeah, apos away and stelo to send. Send away and sent to different ones. How many apostles did the Lord Jesus select? Any hands on that? How many did he select in the, when he was on this earth?
12,
okay. What happened to the one?
Well, the Lord knew that he was going to betray him.
That's right. And once he was betrayed, what did the apostles decide to do? Any hands on that?
Well, they decided to elect one on their own.
Okay. How did they elect them?
By casting lots.
Casting lots, whatever that would mean, and so on. And so the apostles chose whom? Whom did they choose? Tammy?
Matthias.
Fine, let me see here. Just a minute. Yes, Paul.
Yes, so Dr. Ray, I believe what Jesus was saying that the apostle, was a true born again Christian who is trusting in Jesus Christ as Lord Savior is her life.
All right. Well, thank you, Paul. Let's wave to Paul. That's now right here.
Bye,
okay. In the case of Judas, excuse me, Tammy.
I was just going to mention that today I noticed in Matthew that even in chapter 10 of Matthew, the scriptures say now the names of the 12 apostles.
The scriptures say what?
The names of the 12 apostles,
uh-huh.
As opposed to the 12, but the 12 apostles.
Yes, that they were apostles.
In, early on in the book of Matthew, chapter 10, it says that. So, and then the names were given.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's interesting that they were called apostles there.
Yes,
so.
Absolutely. Now, knowing that Judas Iscariot was a traitor and betrayed the Lord, did the Lord Jesus know that before he chose him?
Yes.
Yes. Why then do you think he chose Judas?
The scripture might be
fulfilled. Was it?
That the scripture might be fulfilled.
Right, Tammy?
And going back to Matthew 10, verse 4, just the list of names, Simon the Canaanite and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. So
well,
it says it there in verse 4.
It says it right there clearly.
Verse 4, chapter 10.
Now, it seems to me that this has a picture in local churches. Is it true that some people in local churches profess salvation, but are lost, and like Judas, are betraying the Lord?
Yes.
That's certainly true.
Yes.
Many churches, many larger churches, especially in different ones. I think you want us to be prepared for that in case that would happen in churches. Yes, John?
Yes, in reference to this issue with Judas in John chapter 6, there's quite a bit of that, but I'm just going to jump down to one or two verses in particular. Verse 70 of chapter 6 of the Gospel of John. Jesus answered them, "Have not I chosen you 12? And one of you is a devil."
He
knew ahead of time who was going to betray him. He knew Judas was never really going to be a true believer in him.
Mm-hmm. And I think he chose him so we would be aware that some people who profess to be Christians are not. They're Judases and betray the Lord.
But of course, it had to fulfill prophecy.
Prophecy, that's right. Now, he was chosen by the will of God. How was Paul chosen to be in the hands on that? How was Paul chosen?
Is Antoinette here?
Pardon me?
Is Antoinette here?
Oh, no.
Not yet.
No, I don't think she'll be here. How was Paul chosen? I don't think so. We'll see who's right.
Paul was chosen by the Lord Jesus Christ himself.
Okay. Under what circumstances and when and where? Any hands on that? How was Paul chosen to be an apostle?
On the Damascus Road.
Damascus Road.
He basically blinded him with his glory.
Blinded with his glory?
Yeah.
And he chose him. Did Paul accept the choice?
Yes.
Yes, he accepted the choice and was was a wonderful apostle, served the Lord Jesus Christ very well. And now some of these people that elected by lot, Matthias, do some Christians still believe that he's the one that was substituted for
Probably
Judas?
Some too, but that particular person probably doesn't.
And Matthias himself?
No, someone that was discussing it publicly at the Bible for Today Baptist Church.
Oh yes.
Probably doesn't believe it anymore.
Oh, well, that's interesting. That's interesting. So now that he knows he's in heaven. Yes. Go ahead.
Well, you know, I'm sure there are people today that believe that, but you know, an apostle had to be chosen by the Lord Himself, had to be called
that's
by
right.
the Lord Himself.
Matthias was not chosen by the Lord Jesus Christ, so he did not fit the qualifications.
Apostle also has to have seen the risen Christ.
Now, we had a big fight in our church on that. Matthias, then. No, it wasn't Matthias. But anyway, he knows better now. So, this is an important thing. The Lord chose Paul, and who of the apostles wrote letters? Any of the other apostles wrote letters, these 12, other than Paul? If so, who were they?
Say again?
Were any other disciples or apostles wrote letters in scripture, Bible, books? Yeah.
Can I make an announcement? I misplaced my Bible. Did you find King James Bible?
Right.
I don't know which.
You could use that one tonight.
All right, Pastor Dan, go ahead.
Matthew
wrote, or who else? Anybody else? Yes.
John and James.
And Peter, okay. Yep. So, but who wrote more books of all the apostles?
Paul
wrote more. And so, yes, Anna.
God wrote the most.
Well, that's true.
Yep. I mean,
what I meant was the human, writer.
Just clarifying for anybody that.
Okay.
God wrote them all.
All right, now, if you want to be technical, what was the exact method that every book in the New Testament, at least maybe the Old Testament, was written? What's the exact, precise methodology? Point to point to point. How are they all made up and given to us?
I don't know.
And Bill?
That we're God breathed.
That's true.
Scripture.
What is the exact source? Who began being the point? 1, 2, 3, 4. Any other hands on that? Tammy. Bond.
I'm sorry.
Honey, please.
The Lord Jesus gave them. You're thinking of John 16.
Yes.
And
Lord Jesus Christ did what?
He gave the words to the Holy Spirit.
He gave the words to the Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit gave them to the holy men of old.
The human writers.
And they spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost.
That's exactly right. So that's the way that every book in the New Testament was written, probably the Old Testament as well, but we know it was the Lord Jesus Christ that gave the words. The Holy Spirit, gave the words to the human writers, and that's the way it was. All right, so they wrote them down, and notice it says, Paul an apostle. What is true about why he was chosen in this first verse? And he hands on the questions at bftbc.org, 856-261-9018. I guess YouTube has gone out, but other places, Pastor Dan.
By the will of God.
By the will of God. In other words, it was God's will to choose the Apostle Paul. By the will of God. And who is he writing to in this book of Ephesians?
The Holy Spirit was writing the verse.
Who's he writing to?
The church in Ephesus.
Well, particularly who before that? What are they called? Pastor Dan.
We disagree with the institution of Rome on the definition of what a saint is.
Right.
We don't have to have canonization. There's going to be a committee. There's going to be miracles. Mm-hmm. A saint is someone who's a holy one, someone that's washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. A saint is someone that's born again and genuinely saved and redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ.
So they wrote to the saints at Ephesus. And what does saint mean in the Bible terms? It has that ten.
Someone
was born again, a genuine Christian. Did Anna?
Well, I'm sorry. I was at work one day, and I don't know. I did something for some customer, and they
were appreciative, and they said, thank you, you're a saint, or something. And I thought to myself, well, I guess I am.
Yes,
thank
you are.
For noticing.
That's right.
But I didn't say that out loud.
No.
And I figured they didn't actually know, they might not actually know what the true definition of a saint was.
According to the Bible.
Anyway.
But we're saints, those who are genuinely saved, that are at Ephesus. These are local church, Ephesus. Yes, John.
Yes, I don't know if anybody's watching and is having a problem, but a confirmed sermon audio is working fine. If they go to the Bible Today or website and hit the brown box, that's working fine.
All right.
I don't know about YouTube. I know I had a problem with it earlier. Justine did. I don't know.
Yes.
The other two sites are working well.
Not working well.
They are working good.
Are working
sermon
well.
Audio and the website.
The website, Bible for Today. Yes, Tam?
No, I'm just touching my face, sir.
Okay, that's fine. So the saints at Ephesus, special local church, and who else did Paul write to? This is the saints at Ephesus, verse 1.
Faithful in Christ Jesus.
Faithful in Christ Jesus. Who would those be? Any hands on that? Who would those be? What does it mean, the faithful in Christ Jesus? Questions at BFTBC.org or 856-261-9018. Bill and then Tammy.
The faithful in Christ Jesus are also saints.
All right, they were saints. So Tammy?
Well, they would be born-again Christians, but there would be some level of obedience in their life.
All right, faithful. Not just almost a saint or not a real strong. These are faithful Christians. Are all genuine Christians faithful? No, sad to say. Should they be faithful?
Yes.
They should definitely be faithful. They're not all. Faithful in Bible reading, faithful in study, faithful in prayer, faithful in everything that they do for the Lord. They're the faithful in Christ Jesus. Then in verse 2, there are two different terms listed here by the greeting. What are the two terms and what do each of them mean? What are the two terms?
Grace and peace.
Grace and peace. What is grace? Tammy?
God's riches at Christ's expense.
God's riches at Christ's expense.
His unmerited favor.
That's unmerited favor.
Power to do God's will.
Power to do God's will. Anna?
Grace, I believe, was also the greeting of the Gentiles.
Greeting of the Gentiles, all right. And what's the second greeting? And what does it mean? Okay.
Well, in talking about what Anna said, this would be the greeting of the Jews.
All right.
Shalom. Peace.
Peace, all right. And what is...
We only have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ
when we have peace with Him. That's right. Do all the churches in the country and in the world teach that?
No.
Do they teach the same, do they, on grace? What do some of them teach about grace?
Grace or peace?
Well, we'll start with grace.
What do some of the churches teach about grace?
Right.
Well, you have to earn it.
All right. Some of them say you got to earn the grace.
That's right. They got that false teaching today, the grace revolution.
Grace revolution.
Which, downplays the blood of Christ. You don't have to believe that Jesus was God. It's just through His grace you'll be saved.
You'll be saved.
But you've got to be covered by the blood of Christ.
Yes,
I'm asking my husband, what's that church that believes that you have grace, you can do whatever you want? What's that called?
Super grace?
Yeah.
Is that super grace?
Probably.
Super grace, whatever you want.
Yeah,
it sounds like
the same thing.
Okay. What did you call that one?
The Grace Revolution.
Okay.
That's the name of the teaching.
Prince,
guy over in Asia or something. Forget his name. I know his last name is Prince.
It's Derek Prince?
Is it Derek Prince or...
Oh, that's interesting.
Okay, I don't know if that's his first name, but he's over in Asia. Huge, huge church over there. And
in Australia or something?
No, somewhere in Asia. And he's a big promoter of the Grace Revolution. I know they advertise him a lot on TVN, which is, rotten cattle.
Thanks for telling me that.
Yeah.
Who is the source of both grace and peace in this verse number 4? The 10?
God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Father and the Lord Jesus. Who sent the Lord Jesus here to this earth?
God the Father.
God the Father. And so the The Father sent the Son to this earth to be the Savior of the world. That's right. But is the whole world saved?
No.
Who are saved?
Those that trust
the Lord Jesus as their Savior and Redeemer. The invitation and the withdrawal, and all were prepared, but only those that trust the Lord are possessed of salvation. Now, in verse 3, what is the statement addressed to the Father? What is it called? What is the Father and the Son called here?
Blessed.
What does that mean, blessed? And that thing?
Is it praiseworthy?
Praiseworthy, that's part of it, yes. Blessed. In other words, those who are blessed, are blessed by God, are friends of the Lord. The Lord is giving them courage and implementation, various other things. So blessed be the Father, God the Father, of our Lord Jesus Christ. In what sense was God the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ? What sense? What do we term that relationship with the Father and the Son?
Eternal.
It's eternal. And what else?
It's positional.
It's positional. God and Father. Now he's, yes, Pastor Dan.
Sonship of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Sonship. See, the Lord Jesus is...
Eternal,
right?
Eternal sonship, yes.
Like you said, of the...
Joseph Prince.
Joseph.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
God is called God, but he's also called the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In what sense is the Father, the Lord Jesus, God is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ? In what sense is that? God, in what sense is he the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ? What is meant by that? Any hands on that? Questions at vftbc.org, 856-261-9018.
We had a very interesting co-discovery, and I think we're finding different things about the Bible that right before our eyes, Pastor Dan's been teaching us, and I'm too sick to talk about it, but okay. Paddling, are they still paddling to get out of Egypt?
Well, Tammy.
So, your question was... Remind me, can you remember the exact question? I'm kind of floating on what I want to say.
Well, he's called God and Father.
In what sense is he the Father? Is that what you asked?
Yes, and what is relation?
Well, because we have a triune God.
We have a triune God.
God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy
Spirit.
That's right.
And so this is part of the triunity, isn't it?
Yep.
God and the Father. The Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity, the triune God. All right, now, what is true of God and Father of our Lord Jesus? What has he done in verse number 3? What are his actions? Any hands on that?
He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings.
Now, who is the us referred to? Who are referred to as us?
Be...
Tammy?
Well, the Apostle Paul is included because it's us rather than...
All right.
You.
Who else is it?
And the church there in Ephesus.
Okay, who else?
All born again
Christians, that's right. Yeah, hi Rebecca from
South Carolina.
Yes, go right ahead.
Hi. Yeah, I think, I don't know if you're looking for this word about the relationship between God the Father and God the Son, Jesus Christ, but that Jesus is God the Father's only begotten Son. I wasn't sure if you were looking for that word,
yes,
but
that's good.
You know, the Holy Spirit, yeah, conceived Mary, you know, and so Jesus was born, you know, of course, through Mary, but he's only begotten Son, and then these modern versions, of course, take that out, and she was the begotten, you know, out of the verses, but I think that's what you're looking for. If I could say something else, Pastor Lee, I was going to actually email before the service.
Uh-huh.
I was very excited today and just so thankful to the Lord, and I wanted to publicly praise the Lord. I don't know if you heard in the news, people may have heard, but a former Dallas police officer was sentenced for manslaughter. She killed a man man in his apartment, and he was sentenced to 10 years yesterday with their sentencing. But that sentencing, the homicide victim's brother took the stand for a victim impact statement, and essentially he told her, in being very Christ-like, that he forgives her, and the best thing that she can do is to turn her life over to Christ.
Uh-huh.
And to be saved. And he said this, it is over all of our national news, and Christ's name is exalted. And this young man, only 18 years old, just representing Christ in such a wonderful way.
Mm-hmm.
And he went and gave her a hug and forgave her for killing his brother. And the judge left the courtroom and went to her chambers and got her Bible and came out. And it was on video. And she approached the homicide offender, and she gave her scripture publicly, and she gave the homicide offender her Bible, her personal Bible, and told her to take it with her to prison. And so it's just a wonderful testimony. So my prayer is that souls will be saved, and this former Dallas police officer, that she would be saved. She's not saved. So I just wanted to share that. The very faithful. Bye.
Amen. Yeah. Thank you very much. That's way through Rebecca Howard there in
Carolina,
South Carolina. Yes. Well, that's interesting. Praise the Lord for that.
Yeah.
So God the Father, God of the Trinity, is mentioned, at least the two persons of the Trinity mentioned in that verse, grace and peace. And blessed be God. Now, what has the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ done in verse 3? What has he done? And we refer to this, yes, to Tammy.
He's blessed us with all special blessings in heavenly places in Christ.
And the us refers to how many genuine Christians?
All genuine Christians.
Every single one. But blessed. Do all genuine Christians know that, do you think?
No.
No, they don't. They don't. But this is very clear. Why do you think the Lord tells us this in his Bible?
Because we forget.
We forget and we don't know, but he gives us information. That's right. And all spiritual blessings. What? Yes, Tammy.
Yeah, like you said, we may not know unless he tells us.
Unless he tells us.
We may not know how we are blessed in heavenly places in him.
Now, just think, all spiritual blessings in heavenly places.
That's amazing.
So a lot of places. Only if we're what? In two words.
In Christ.
In Christ. The Lord has blessed us in the Lord Jesus Christ. If we're saved and born again, genuine Christians, and, I mean, Tammy.
And it's not some spiritual blessings. It's all.
It's all, absolutely. It's amazing. What a heritage every genuine Christian has. What a heritage. Mm-hmm. Let's read verse number 4, 5, and 6 together.
According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved.
Okay. So in verse 4, chosen us in him. What does the word chosen mean, and how does some interpret this, and what do you think the right way is to interpret? Chosenness in him. When did that take place?
Yes. Well, it says there before the foundation of the world, but there are those that believe that what that means is God predetermined everybody that was going to be saved before the foundation of the world. He decided who it was going to be, and that's the false idea of predestination that a Calvinist believe.
Right.
You know, they don't understand predestination at all.
Tammy?
Well, I think because he knows everything.
Mm-hmm.
He already knew who was going to choose him.
Mm-hmm.
So he chose us in the sense that he knew who would choose him.
That's right. He knew who would choose him, so he's chosen us. When did that take place? That choice?
Before the foundation of the
world. Before the foundation of the world. And the world, who created the world? According to Scripture.
Lord Jesus Christ.
Lord Jesus Christ. He was the Creator.
All things Father, were made by him.
The Holy Spirit, all had a part, but he's called the Creator. And he created us, chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Now, did God know who would trust the Lord Jesus as their Savior?
Yes.
Yes, he did. So knowing that, before the foundation of the world, he chose these genuine Christians because he knew that they were going to choose the Lord Jesus Christ himself as well. And so in that sense, now there's a fault in the people that are hyper-Calvinists as far as election. What is the fault in their view of election? Yes, Tammy.
Well, they believe that certain people were elected to salvation, other people were predestined to hell, and you can't change that, and no matter how much you reject the Lord, if you're elected, you're going to be going to heaven. So it's a terrible heresy.
Yes. The hyper-Calvinists teach there's just a certain group that are elect, and all the rest of them that are not elect are going to hell. There's no way they can be saved. Christ didn't even die for their sins, just for the sins of the elect. Yes,
one of the problems that heretical doctrine brings is you have no reason for missions, you have no reason for evangelism, you have no reason to give the gospel message out in the sermon, because it doesn't make any difference, because you don't know whether you're going to heaven or hell. Only God knows.
Yes.
Your order has been predetermined by him.
Yes.
This is all false. Just one of Satan's lies
right.
to prevent people from entering the kingdom of God.
And John 3:16 knocks that apart. Let's say,
for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
It's the whosoever, not simply the elect, can be saved if they trust the Savior genuinely. So that's number four. Blessed be the Lord. Now, chosen him before the foundation of the world. That, what is the result of that? What should those who are chosen do according to verse number 4? What should they be like? Tammy?
Well, he chose us to be holy and without blame before him in love.
So it wasn't just to sit there in a seat and say you're chosen, you're a friend of Christ, but holy. Holy. What does that mean to be holy? And are all genuine Christians holy as they should be?
Pure.
Pure, all right. And that's the purpose. That's the final thing he wants. What else does he want us to be in verse number 4?
Without blame.
Without blame. What does that mean, without blame? How would you phrase that? Questions at bftbc.org, 856-261-9018. Give us a call or comment on these things. What does it mean to be without blame and then before him?
Well,
yes.
I believe it refers to how we're covered by the blood of Christ. So in the eyes of the Father, we are without blame because we're covered by Christ's blood. The only thing that I can atone for our sin. He sees us white as snow.
That we should be holy and without blame. Yes, Tammy.
Well, in Timothy, he talks about that the pastor is to be with us. And so people might accuse him of any of things, but it's nothing that is going to hold any truth to it. So I guess the same idea, but before the Lord, you know, Satan may accuse us of certain things, but it doesn't hold any veracity or doesn't have any truth to it.
Is without blame the same as before people, or before the Lord?
No.
What's the difference?
It's before the Lord.
Before the Lord?
And he knows everything.
He knows our hearts. He knows everything about us. And then in love. Well, why is that thrown in, do you think, in this without blame situation? In love for whom? In love to whom, do you think? Holy and without blame before him. Yes, Tammy.
It seems like would be our love for him.
Our love for him. I think that's true. Our love for him. All right, let's read.
If I could, this verse also helps to knock down that false doctrine of where once you're saved, you can just go on sinning and it doesn't make any difference. Because it doesn't tell us that. Because we are to be holy and without blame before him.
Right.
You know?
That's right.
And so it says, you know, we have to strive for that.
Right.
You know, in our Christian walk.
I'm going to stop right here for tonight.